This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
The information provided or any opinions expressed in this show are of a general nature only and should not be construed or relied on as a recommendation to invest in a financial product or class of financial products. You should seek financial advice specific to your circumstances from a financial advisor before making any financial decisions. A disclosure statement can be obtained free of charge.
You're listening to Radio Hawke's Bay. This is a program called Candy View. It's a program all about your finances, hosted by the fabulous team from the Stewart Group right here in Hastings. It's my pleasure to have in the studio Tim Ewan from the Stewart Group. How are you going, Tim?
All the better for seeing you, Ken. How are you?
I think that's one of my lines, isn't it?
May well have been.
Before we start today's program, just remind our listeners, Stewart Group, what are you guys all about?
We're all about financial planning. We're all about making sure that there's a roadmap for people so that as they go through life's journey, their financial plan will deliver on their expectations, whether that's managing risks. So if they hit a speed bump from a financial perspective, they've got a few buckets that can take care of things to get them back on track. Mm-hmm. And indeed, as they get to retirement, they've got a big bucket so that they can enjoy retirement and enjoy life, which is what it's all about. So it's about financial planning, wealth management, risk management, and also we look after KiwiSaver and pensions for people. We have a couple of offices, Ken. We have one here in Hastings at 204 Karamu Road North, and also in Wellington as well, level 7, 90 The Terrace in Wellington.
Now, the last time you and I spoke, Tim, we were talking about the correlation between the Olympics and finances. Well, the Olympics are behind us now. I just wonder what was the highlight for you?
Great question, Ken. Thank you for asking me that. Look, 10 gold. It's our most successful mm-hmm. Olympic Games ever. 1984, we had 8. Did we go into these games thinking we were going to surpass that? Maybe. I don't know. We had a slow start. A few people were scratching chins and scratching heads and going, well, are we going to deliver on expectations? We exceeded expectations. So Finn Butcher, the kayaker, I thought he was outstanding. That possibly came from a little bit left mm-hmm. field because he was up against the current world champion. Hamish Kerr, the high jumper, brilliant. Again, we thought he may have been there or thereabouts, but it's not over till it's over. And what I was so delighted about that was that they didn't share the gold. You have to have a winner. Yeah, come right, on, yeah. Let's play that out. But for me, the highlight being a very, very poor and average golfer, mediocrity is my middle name when it comes to playing golf, Lydia Ko. She got a silver in Rio. She got a bronze in Tokyo. She adds that to the mantelpiece with a gold. Isn't that just phenomenal? I sat up and watched every stroke. On the 13th, she went into the water, and I thought, uh-oh. And golfers will know this. Sometimes what you want the body to do is different to what the mind is telling the body to do. Yeah. But she got there. You could see the emotion, the passion that she had for the silver for Fern. I mean, this young lady could have chosen any country in the world to go and start her career development when it comes to golf, but she chose Aotearoa, New Zealand, and we are a better country because of that, because she is such a wonderful ambassador, not only for the game, but also for Aotearoa, New Zealand, which is absolutely wonderful.
Dead right. Now, today's topic for discussion is business risk, and I've got a whole bunch of questions to ask you to run by you because you're going to know every single answer. What is business risk?
It's really a case of saying if a business couldn't make money because of the key people in the business being unwell or deceased or having an accident, how can it keep functioning? Mm-hmm. The same as it is for your household, but shifted across to business. And not many people realize that you can actually insure against a key person in the business and the impact that they would have if they're not able to perform their duties, roles and tasks in the business. If they couldn't front up to work and organise things, if they couldn't perhaps get on the road and drive sales, that could have an impact on the turnover of the business and ultimately the profitability. And if the profitability dips, then it can affect the staff that are relying on that business to make money. So business risk is about making sure there's a plan to cover the what if for the key people in the business.
And we are obviously talking about insurance. So talk us through what might make up a typical business risk insurance plan for, well, even for, you know, your dairy on the corner or your big industry like Harvey Norman's, I don't know.
Great question, Ken. And that's what it is. It's about tailoring it to suit the individual business itself because one size doesn't fit all. But basically, you want to make sure that if a key person in the business couldn't walk through the doors on a Monday, would there be some money to put into the bank account to keep the business afloat. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about a lotto win. We're not talking about a windfall gain. We're just saying, hey, if you are renting a premises, if you have two or three people that are paid a salary and you are generating the majority of that income for that business because of your skill set, then you don't want to let them down. So how about we take out a cover that would put $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000, whatever the number is, into the business bank account to keep things afloat while you're getting back on your feet. So that would be called loss of revenue or key person cash flow cover, one might say.
Yeah.
So it's on the individual, it's owned by the business, the benefit gets paid directly to the business, it's taxable, assessable, more often than not, it's treated as cash flow, and the premiums under current taxation laws normally are fully tax deductible.
Now, I've been in the insurance business for quite some time, Tim. I wonder, as a percentage, what sort of businesses do you find take up business risk insurance?
Again, another great question, Ken. It'd be very low in New Zealand because we have a little bit of a she'll be right attitude.
Yes.
We have a bit of an approach to say, oh, well, it's likely to be an accident, so ACC will cover me. Well, ACC isn't going to put any money into the business. They'll put it to you as an individual if you have an accident, but they won't put it into the business. Now, the other thing too is if you and I owned a business and I got sick, are you going to carry on paying me?
Mm-hmm. Well, probably I would because I'm a nice guy. But the reality, I probably wouldn't.
But for how long? You might be
exactly.
able to get by for a month. You know, we're in a cost of living crisis at the moment. You know, electricity is out through the roof, et cetera, et cetera. So there has to be a point where you go, enough is enough, Tim. You're not coming back. What do we do now?
Yeah.
So it's about having the correct planning around that situation if it does occur. What is the plan?
What can't you insure your business for? Can you insure your business against failing, for instance? So, you know, you find that you've been squeezed out of the market, you've had to close the doors. Can you get insurance for that?
No. No. You can't insure for incompetence, Ken.
No. Fair enough. But if it's not incompetence, then what if it's just the market changed?
I guess you could say that's probably an act of God.
Yeah.
And in my experience, and I'm happy to be proved wrong, but I am not aware of any insurance that would cover that. You can cover, for example, floods and earthquakes and so forth, and business continuity, which is separate to this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, if there was inverted commas, he raises his hands and does the inverted commas sign. If it was an act of God, you could say, well, hang on a minute, you know, lightning struck the house, the building's all smashed to pieces, what do we do?
Yeah.
So, you could say, well, okay, there's insurance for the bricks and mortar, but hang on, we were generating $20,000 a month from that building.
Mm-hmm.
Can we have something to cover that? Possibly, yes.
Yeah.
That's connected to that. But more around the individuals. The individuals are the key people in the business that make the cash flow happen. They could be the CEO. They could be the sales manager. They could be the top-line radio announcer that runs the most popular breakfast show in Hawke's Bay, if not the whole Eastern Seaboard.
And it could be me as well.
Well, exactly. You were in that category, but yes. Yeah.
What about tradies? What can they get?
Well, tradies are the backbone of New Zealand. Let's be honest about that. You know, they're out there digging holes. They're putting up walls. They're doing all sorts of things that you and I can only dream about doing them competently. So tradies can be in a role that's quite risky. You know, if you're digging a hole, if you're putting a wall up, if you're using a jackhammer, all that kind of thing. And again, they tend to rely on ACC. However, do you know exactly how much ACC will pay you in the event of an accident?
Yeah.
If you are a new tradie, for example, is ACC going to pay you what your expectations are? Possibly not. You won't know till you ask. However, there is the ability in some circumstances to lock in a specific amount with ACC. So you've got a surety as to what you're going to get paid should a claim occur. But what we often say to tradies is that you can actually overlap covers.
Yep.
You can have a robust discussion about what the options are for ACC, but then you can have key startup cover. So in other words, a tradie might be out on his own for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
He could have a simple cover that would cover him in both sickness and accident as well. It might go for 1 or 2 years, and then the insurance company would say, hang on a minute, we now need to see the financials just to understand what you're doing.
Yeah.
We're not talking a telephone number, but anything that goes into the bucket of funds that the business needs to keep going is very much valued, that's for sure.
I want to do, let's stay with the tradie side of the business. If I was a tradie starting up, and let's say I'm in business for a year and I've got a good amount of money coming in, and I have an accident which puts me, sort of takes me out of my work, do the claims have a finite clause in them? I mean, I might not be able to work for 10 years because of that accident. Would you keep paying?
Another great question, Ken. there are covers that can take you right through to age 65.
Wow.
Now, provided it's underwritten, I beg your pardon, at claim time, it could pay right through to age 65 potentially, and in some instances, it's through to age 70. But my experience as a risk insurance manager is that often, if it is a long-term claim for the client and the likelihood of them ever returning to their current occupation is minimal, then the insurance company would say, well, look, let's forecast what we would pay you from age 30 to age 65. So we've got 35 years of payment, right? And that may be a telephone number. Mm. They might turn around and say, well, look, instead of paying you $4.5 million, let's pay you $3 million. Mm. We'll pay you $3 million now. Mm. So time value of money, you can take that $3 million, come into the Stewart Group, we can sit down and do a thorough financial plan for you that will take care of your needs and goals right through to your future and retirement. And some insurance companies, Ken, in addition to paying you out, will put money into your KiwiSaver while you can't work.
Well, how good is that?
Yeah.
And, of course, you guys have all that knowledge on tap, don't you?
Yeah. On tap is a nice word to use. Sometimes we have to go through the book of words just to make sure that what we're talking about is absolutely correct, because it is a minefield, and that's why you want a specialist that understands the language, knows the insurance companies, knows the feature of benefits of each one, and they can tailor a product suite that suits your current circumstances, because again, one size doesn't fit all.
Now tell us about shareholder buy sell agreements. What are they, and how do they work?
Basically, Ken, if you were an IR in business, we'd have a shareholder agreement, and that would give a rough outline as to what would happen if one person wanted to exit the business. However, if it's not a planned exit, if it's a forced exit due to accident or illness, what happens there? Say, for example, my shares are worth $100,000 and I get so unwell that I can never come to work again. You'd go, right, I can write out a check for $100,000, buy my shares off my estate or family or significant other, if that's the case, but you might say, well, actually, I don't quite have $100,000 just burning a hole in my back pocket. So what you do is often take out a buy-sell agreement, which is a legal binding document that says upon the death or total disablement or anything else that's relevant to that particular document, an insurance product will kick in. You will receive the money, which allows you to pay the money to my estate or to my significant other so you can buy the shares. When I say you, that's a loose term, because our gold standard recommendation is that a separate entity owns the policy, and it's called a bare trustee company. Mm-hmm. And that way it's at arm's length to you, and it's at arm's length to any entity I'm involved in. And upon receipt of shares, the money is transferred simultaneously from the insurance company once you get the share, so it all happens seamlessly at the same time. But it's about making sure that there is a plan in place, because I have heard of some instances whereby I own your policy, you own my policy, I check out, you disappear to Brazil, my wife has the shares for the company, but we can't get a hold of Ken.
Yeah. Now, just wanted to take back a little bit. You mentioned that she'll be right attitude that most Kiwis do have, even when they go into business. Is that changing with the economic uncertainties that we've been facing and that we've got ahead of us?
I think it is, Ken. And also in the space that I specialise in as well, in the agri space, in rural sector, I'm seeing a younger generation coming through and realising that perhaps, yes, we do need to make sure our ducks are in a row, both from a technological point of view, both from management point of view, both from governance, all those sorts of things come into play, because they have seen perhaps a younger group of people perhaps affected by accident, illness, et cetera, for whatever reason. So they're going, you know what? We need to have that safety net.
Mm.
What do we do?
Yeah. What about ACC? Where does ACC fit into all of this, if at all?
ACC is a backstop. It provides, I guess, surety after 7 days. If you can't work in your current occupation again, sorry, if you can't work in your current occupation, well, ever again, it could be that, but they will pay you 80% of your pre-disability income. But it's up to a pre-described level, so it's 146,000 gross, roughly, approximately there. But if you were a high-flying CEO of $500,000, then naturally your lifestyle would be reflective of that. You know, you'd be wearing Rolex instead of a Tag Heuer, that kind of thing. So it would mean that you would have to take a backward step if ACC was only going to pay you 80% of a 146. So therefore, that's where you need to ring fence that earning capacity through an income protection policy that will allow you to maintain your lifestyle, but more importantly, your family's lifestyle if you can never work again. So ACC is good, but it's not the be-all and end-all. Plus, also, there are some instances with self-employed people that perhaps the ACC occupation code isn't reflective of what they are doing.
Mm.
And it can be that they're paying levies higher than what they should. And often we can sit down, do a review, and just make sure that they're on the right occupation code relative to their industry and business that they're doing.
I guess most people, when they're thinking about buying a business, they, in the first instance, might go and see an accountant. Is the Stewart Group able to help out in that department as well, or is that a different branch and then come back to you for the rest of it?
There's two aspects to that. So you would go and see the accountant to understand what the valuation of the business is, to make sure you're not paying over and above what the market is,
mm-hmm.
and also just ascertain, is the person that you are buying the business off, are they charging way too much? And, of course, this needs to be at arm's length, separate advice,
yes,
separate engagement to the person that you're buying the business off. So independent advice from an accounting point of view is crucial, also from a legal perspective as well. And then we can come off the bench and offer our expertise as and when required. In some instances, because of our expertise, we may be able to offer some value around the table in terms of how that business is looking and so forth. But generally speaking, we want to stay in our lane, and we would be more inclined to say talk to the accountant, because yep. they are the business advisors, they are the expert subject matters, and then obviously use the lawyer, and we could come in alongside around the planning, around risk protection and so forth.
Just in closing, Tim, just to recap what we've talked about, what would be your top three tips that you might give to someone listening to this program about risk insurance?
Make sure you know what your ACC cover is for. How much are you going to get paid? If you can't work tomorrow, what will, because of accident, what will ACC pay you? If you don't know, we need to talk. If you get sick, how will you keep your business going? What will happen? And the third one is, if it's a multi-owned company with several shareholders and directors, if one of you was to check out early, what's your plan for taking care of that balance of shareholding? Have you got a plan in place? You just can't rely on the shareholder agreement. You actually need a buy-sell agreement, of which a lawyer in partnership with the accountant can offer you the independent advice to make sure that you are looked after.
Good on you, Tim. Just remind the listeners once again, if we want to get hold of the Stewart Group, how do we do that?
You can give me a call on 06650 4335, or 027 666 3338, or you can email me, tim@stewartgroup.co.nz, or jump onto the website, www.stewartgroup.co.nz, and of course, a disclosure statement is available free upon request.
The information provided or any opinions expressed in this show are of a general nature only and should not be construed or relied on as a recommendation to invest in a financial product or class of financial products. You should seek financial advice specific to your circumstances from a financial advisor before making any financial decisions. A disclosure statement can be obtained free of charge.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.